applications for absentee ballots. But those are only good for the August primary. And I think there's some confusion there. People are saying, oh, no, it's for the November president. You can't do that. You have to have a you don't even know who all these candidates are. They haven't printed up the November ballots for the general election because there are primaries still. Secretary of State Denise Merrill wants lawmakers to allow all voters to vote in November by absentee ballot. Let me repeat that, folks, in case you're playing along at home. Secretary of State Denise Merrill wants lawmakers to allow all voters to vote in November by absentee ballot. So then what this would do would close down all the polling stations. There's been a lot of criticism from Republicans who are raising concerns about potential voter fraud. And there are now two lawsuits by candidates questioning if Merrill can even allow this. Denise Merrill says, quote, "We want to make sure that people know that by absentee in this..." Wait. What is she? This doesn't even make sense. "We want to make sure that people know that by absentee in this very specific time..." This doesn't make sense. Where did we get this story from? That doesn't... Unless she was completely hammered when she made this quote.
This quote was taken Saturday night, 10:30.
Yeah, this... well... the person who typed this up maybe had a few extra cocktails. Registered Democrats and Republicans, they should be seeing absentee ballot application in the mail. I've already received mine. Governor Lamont is allowing all voters to vote by absentee ballot in the August 11th primaries. Merrill is seeking legislative approval to continue that for the November general election. She goes on to say, quote, "And I feel so strongly that we need to make sure that no one has to make a choice between not voting and being safe," end quote. Well, before we bring in our next guest, you know, I think we're taking this being safe coronavirus a little too extreme. And I don't want to make light of it. I know that we have a vulnerable portion of our population that are over 70 years old or have pre-existing conditions. And I don't want to sound cold-hearted, because I'm not. I'm not. My parents are at least 70. And I have relatives and friends who have COPD or asthma or respiratory issues of all ages, by the way. So there are vulnerable people in our personnel, but in our communities. But here's the thing, folks. They're also going out. There's 85-year-olds who are both over the age of 70 and have pre-existing conditions, and they're at Stop and Shop at 7 o'clock in the morning. So if they can go grocery shopping, then guess what? They can also vote. Our next guest this morning is somebody who I served with my first term in the House of Representatives. And then he went on to bigger and better things by becoming a state senator. He is my good friend, Eric Berthel. Eric, good morning.
Hey, Gary, good morning. Always a pleasure to be on with you. I'm listening to you. I really don't have anything to say. We could talk about the weather. You basically made all of the points.
Oh, goodness.
With regard to the absentee ballot. But I do want to emphasize one really, really, really important thing here.
Go ahead.
You know, and you started saying it, I have joined the lawsuit along with Representative Jason Perillo, my good friend from down in the valley.
Yes.
Represent Shelton and part of a couple of other towns in a lawsuit against Denise Merrill. And I can tell you that if people actually took the time to read what's in the lawsuit, the minor attacks that have come to me about I am trying to suppress voting because Donald Trump wants to suppress voting, and the only way Republicans can win in Connecticut is we have to suppress voting, and I'm going to kill people. Literally, I've had a handful of people say to me, "Senator Berthel, the blood of these people, you killers, is going to be on your hands if you don't allow absentee balloting."
These are people, Eric, clear. I'm sorry to interrupt you. These are people that never would have voted for you in the first place.
Well, you're probably right. But here's even at a higher level than that, Gary, no one, myself included, and the lawsuit itself is saying that you can't vote by absentee ballot. No one is saying that. If you need an absentee ballot, go and request one and get it. Go and request an absentee ballot and get it. What the Secretary of State has done, first of all, what she's done is unconstitutional, which we can talk about, and that is really that the crux of the lawsuit, that we cannot allow an officer of the executive branch, the Secretary of State, to violate the Constitution of the state of Connecticut. We have all taken an oath, as you did when you served, as I did when I got re-sworn in and re-elected. We all took an oath to protect the Constitution of the state of Connecticut and the United States of America. We are not allowed to rewrite the Constitution of the state of Connecticut to change the process by which we vote. That does not mean by any stretch of anyone's imagination that if you don't need an absentee ballot if you need an absentee ballot, that you should go and request one. Sending ballot applications to every single registered voter in Connecticut is not the process. And it will absolutely, 100%, I've got proof of it already, be an open door for fraud. I have a constituent in Seymour. He's lived in his house for a decade. He got an absentee ballot application mailed to his house for the person that owned his house 10 years ago.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Now, he's a good guy. He'll take that ballot application. He'll throw it out. If he wasn't a good guy, could he send it back, have the ballot mailed to him? He'd be committing fraud, of course. He could go to jail for that. It's against the law. But he could go and vote for this person who hasn't lived in his house for 10 years, and he could go and show up at the polls himself and go cast a vote. And that is what the concern is. Our voter rolls are not clean in Connecticut. And quite honestly, Gary, when you and I served together a number of years ago, this was an issue that we raised with the Secretary of State.
That's right.
That her office, it is incumbent upon her office to clean up the voter rolls. And once we've done that, then we can rely on looking at a process to make absentee ballot applications available. Until then, no way. No way.
So I want to be clear here. I want to be clear here. You're not suggesting that we do not have absentee ballots. You're not suggesting that people who are either over the age of 70 or 75 or have of any age with a pre-existing respiratory issue, you're not suggesting that they don't qualify for an absentee ballot. You're saying that there's also healthy people that if we can stand in line at supermarkets or stand in line at any other restaurant or retailer and going out into the public with a mask on and social distancing 6 feet apart, if we can do that, then we can also show up at the polls in person and vote.
100% correct. And you know what? And what the Secretary of State and the governor with his executive order 7QQ, what they are doing is they are playing on fears. They're playing on fears to perpetrate a change in our system that is not necessary. And I'll tell you what, the problem's not going to happen in Watertown and Woodbury and Shelton and all of our small towns. The problem's going to happen in the big cities. And that's where, generally speaking, we have seen issues with absentee ballots in the past. But you are spot on, my friend. We are not saying if you think you need an absentee ballot, go and get one. Go and get it. No one is trying to suppress a vote. I would like, just like you, Gary, I'd like 100% voter turnout. That means the people have spoken. 100%. But I can tell you, last week in Woodbury, Connecticut, in sleepy little Woodbury, we had an election for regional Board of Education members. How obscure, an election at the end of June, right? The last Tuesday in June. They had an 11% voter turnout. They normally get 6 or 7%. People stood in line. They wore masks. They cleaned their hands. They socially distanced. They had an 11% turnout in an election that normally draws 6 or 7%.
Wow.
And it was people that showed up and waited in line. Give me a break with this whole thing that people are afraid to wait in line to go and vote in November. And that's why the Secretary of State needs to mail out applications. It's a bunch of hogwash. People want an application, go get one. I understand it. My parents are in their 80s, and they will probably vote by absentee ballot. But they're going to request the ballot the way that we've been doing so for 102 years in Connecticut. They're not going to have something mailed, and maybe it gets lost, it gets misdirected, whatever the heck it is. We have to stop playing on people's fears.
We're speaking with State Senator Eric Berthel. Eric, have you seen these boxes, these official ballot drop box? They look like a mailbox. They're all white. Our U.S. Senator Chris Murphy had tweeted it, and somebody had reposted it on Facebook and elsewhere. Someone sent it to me, and I took a shot of this, a screenshot of it.
Sure.
Have you seen them?
I have.
Yeah.
I have. They are... there's, to me, there's questions about they're very sturdy looking. They look like the kind of box you might drop a package in for UPS or FedEx,
right,
or the
like
United
a mailbox
States Postal
type of
Service.
Thing.
But who knows whether or not they can be tampered with? Who knows how safe they are? Who knows what's actually being dropped in there? I mean, it's just, you know, and not to mention the expense of doing this as well. You know, one of the things that silently slips under the radar, we can talk about it right now, and a whole bunch of people are going to hear about it. This process for the August primary and getting these absentee ballots out and procuring and installing all these big metal boxes didn't come cheap. There's like a $5 million price tag attached to it. In a state that, as you know very well, we're looking at a $2.5 billion deficit. Oh, imagine that. So let's pile on another $5 million. What's $5 million between friends, right? When you have a $2.5 billion deficit in Connecticut, which is what, you know, Gary, you know, when the legislature convenes in January, it's going to be one of the hardest sessions we've ever seen in modern history as we try to mitigate $2.5 billion and $4 or $5 billion the following year. How do we do it? We don't know how to cut spending in Connecticut, so we're going to have to raise...
Oh, come on, Eric. We know what's going to happen. Should everything remain the status quo, with Democrats having control of not only the governor's not up this year, but of the state Senate and state House, we know what's going to happen. The writing's on the wall. We're going to increase taxes. Not only increase existing taxes, Eric, they're going to create new taxes where taxes never were, you know? We know the answer to that.
We'll see tolls, we'll see legalization of recreational marijuana, we'll see everything thrown at the wall in an effort to backfill these...
Yeah. We'll see more than that.
Hey, if I'm not mistaken, is this normally my esteemed leader's spot with you? Is this Len Fasano's normal time slot?
As a matter of fact, since you bring that up. Yeah, so Len,
what an honor.
Len joins us every other Thursday. And then on the opposite Thursdays, Femis Claridis, the House Minority Leader.
What an honor to be filling in for either one of those great people who have done... have done great work and will not be returning. Have decided to hang up their hat, so to speak. But no, that's great. I'm glad to fill in for Len today. And if it was Themis' spot, I would be honored having served under her leadership as well.
That's so, right. Well, we understand that Len.
Sorry to digress. Yeah,
that's okay. Digress all you'd like. We understand Len has got conflicts with his law practice on Thursdays in the 8 o'clock hour. In fact, 2 weeks ago, he had to get somebody to pinch hit for him as well. Kevin Witkos, the deputy leader.
Another great colleague of mine.
That's right.
In the Senate circle. Good man as well, for sure.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do, and I guess he wants to come on because he wrote an op-ed he wants to really delve into. So we're going to try to work with him on this. We're going to keep the same day, but maybe rearrange the schedule for a time that is more suitable for his schedule.
Excellent. Excellent.
I wanted to ask you something else, though, going back to the ballots, these absentee ballots.
Yes.
So what are the Democrats so afraid of? I mean, this is Connecticut, right? Isn't historically this is a Democrat state? What are they afraid of, then, that they're trying all these little tricks to try to get...
Well, Gary, I think it's, you know, people should understand that we'll definitely see, I guess we can assume that we'll see an increase in the number of people who vote if more people have absentee ballots. And again, everyone who needs one should get one. No one's saying not to do that. But I think that there is an opportunity for fraud to be committed here. And the Democrats will, they're going to push on issues to change the way we vote. You know, Denise Merrill tried over the last 6 years that I've been in the legislature to bring forth measures to change the number of days in which we can vote, that Election Day doesn't have to be on Tuesday. It could be, you know, for a couple of weeks before. And, you know, all of these opportunities to expand voting, which opportunities to expand the opportunity to vote. I'm all for that, but I'm not for that until we know with a high level of assurance that our voter rolls are correct, that people are only voting once. It's one person, one vote. That's always been at the crux of protecting the integrity of our electoral system in Connecticut and across the nation. Until we know for sure that Eric Berthel is only on the voter rolls in Watertown, Connecticut, and I'm not on the voter rolls from when I used to live in Waterbury and when I used to live in Southbury, until we can have assurance from our Secretary of State, and that's her responsibility. Until we have that assurance, we can't think about expanding it. We have to protect the integrity of our vote. And until we do that, I'm sorry, I will not support measures to expand voting in Connecticut.
And that's good.
Certainly, will not not support what we're doing with mailing an application to every person. When I, again, have a constituent in Seymour who has an application for someone that lived in his house 10 years ago, I have people saying to me, my mother passed away 3 years ago. I got an application for her. Yeah. I have people telling me all kinds of horror stories about they're getting applications for a absentee ballot for people that aren't here anymore, don't live in this town anymore, et cetera, et cetera. The process is not clean, and it's going to result in people voting who shouldn't
vote. Just opens itself up for corruption, as if there's probably corruption already that exists. There's nothing that to your point, somebody who, actually, forget even a dead person. There's nothing that prevent me from getting an absentee ballot for my wife and I and using hers and then and voting for her, you know, and me. And then she would say, well, whatever happened to my ballot? You know, I don't know, dear. I don't know. Maybe you didn't get one.
So, Gary, I'll give you a really great example that was brought to my attention. So the absentee ballot applications have gone out. Let's say you go on primary day in August. You go and go to your polling place. You go up to the checker who checks you in.
Yeah.
And he or she says, I'm sorry, Mr. Byron, but you voted by absentee ballot. You're not on the list. You're not eligible to vote today here at a machine. And now you look and go, wait a minute, I never filled out an absentee ballot application. What are you talking about? I'm here. I want to vote. And they're going to turn you away. They're going to send you back to your registrar of voter's office.
Uh-huh.
They're going to go and they're going to have to find your absentee ballot. You're going to attest that you never filled it out. Now, that may happen may happen thousands of times all over Connecticut. What happens to the integrity of the election on that day? Does Secretary Merrill now say, the whole thing's a disaster. Look at this. We can't possibly trust the...
Yeah, I think we're going to...